I'm very pleased to introduce Professor Mühlenberg, who will talk about high relativistic electrons. Please, Professor.
Thank you. A few years ago, when Jean-Luc Pellet joined the CMNS forum, I asked him whether he was familiar with the Dirac equations, and he said he was, and I had an immense relief because I did not want to do that. I wanted to go there, but not myself, and as a consequence, we've had a very productive collaboration since then. His wife was not doing well right now, so he was not able to make the trip and present this himself. I have put the view graph, the slides, up in the poster session for both this talk and my talk on Friday, and I will try to get up the information, his commentary on these slides, which will be deeper than I'm going to be having time for at this point. Just as a background on what we've done and why we're doing it, the electron deep orbits, by the way, we have used the French EDO rather than the US DOE for deep electron orbits, for deep orbit electrons. Obviously, DOE has not supported this. The key thing is that when we go to relativistic physics, we introduce the mass of the electron, and that goes into the potential. And this means then that we are talking about cross products because we have to square these relationships. And this means now that we're coupling the mass with the energies, with the potential. And this is a critical thing. So relativity introduces this as an important feature, and it shows up in the equations that we have a plus or minus square root. The plus sign gives the standard orbits, the standard energies, and that's great, everybody's happy with that. But nobody really wanted to address the negative sign because that gives negative energies, and or generally gives negative energies, and people didn't see them. But there is actually the first of these orbits, these are the anomalous solutions, and it's singular as long as you go ahead and assume that the Coulomb potential is valid to r equals zero. But in reality, of course, you have a nucleus and that doesn't happen. And so we end up with a deep orbit as a result of that negative sign, which comes from the introduction of mass as a variable rather than as a constant, which can simply be dropped out because potentials are relative measurements. So the main features then of the electron deep orbit solutions are very deep orbits with an average radius on the order of femtometers as compared to the 50 picometers for the atomic orbitals. And then the special relativity is essential because it introduces the mass, but it also means that we now have effective masses and high energies as a consequence of the relativistic effects. So if we actually are looking at what these orbits look like, we can see, this is in femtometers, we're looking at an electron peaking in the femtometer range. And this then gives us something that is predicted by the fundamental quantum mechanical equation, the Dirac equations, which include spin. But those orbits are also included in the Klein-Gordon equations, which are the relativistic Schrödinger equations. They don't include spin, but these deep orbits are still there. So this means then that we have the major equations in quantum mechanics predicting the presence of these deep orbits, and these are positive energy orbits. So why don't we see them? The question comes up, if it's not really the ground state that we normally see, we have this deep orbit, why doesn't everything drop into it, the universe collapse? Well, the ground state in hydrogen is a zero angular momentum state, and the deep orbit is an angular momentum state of zero, and zero-zero transitions are highly forbidden. There are other possibilities of getting to that, and those are things that I will address at least one point of them later on. But these equations were actually predicted in 1994 by Molly and by Barbara, and published in the Nuclear Physics Journal, and then ignored for the most part. There was arguments against it, and one of the arguments which was against it, which actually was very useful, was the statement that in a two-level system, the deep orbits would have a population of about 2 parts per billion of the atomic orbits. And that seems, hey, 2 parts per billion, you can forget that. Perturbation theory doesn't even look that deep. However, if you start talking about populations 10 to the 22nd, 10 to the 23rd per cubic centimeter, all of a sudden now you're talking 10 to the 14th, 10 to the 15th in this deep orbit. Well, we can't really talk about the two-level state because that bottom condition, once you have an electron in that orbit, the electron doesn't change, but the new atom, the femtoatom, does. The femtoatom now is basically what I call a fat neutron. It's a neutral particle that is in the femtometer size. So it can go right through a lattice, it can go right through a screening electron system, it can go right into the nucleus. And as I show more in the Friday talk, this means that we start answering the things in cold fusion that really don't have other answers. So that's the background. So what Jean-Luc did, which was really sort of amazing, one of the major arguments, and one that Akito raised years ago, is that you can't have an electron bound in that deep orbit with that small dimension because the Heisenberg uncertain relationship says your energy's got to be on the order of 100 MeV. So Jean-Luc started from the other direction. He said, okay, assuming the Heisenberg uncertain relationship holds, what can we find out? And so he went ahead and did the mathematics and did the assumptions and found out that, in fact, because of relativity, you can actually end up with the energy of the electron on the order of 100 MeV. And this is sort of interesting. And then the question, though, is that how do you confine something like that? How do you go ahead and keep it 100 MeV electron bound in that configuration? And so the question is, can it be done? And Jones answered, yes. So following the math on down, we can come up with an interesting relationship, which is gamma the relativistic enhancement actually comes up to be the Coulomb wavelength divided by the de Broglie wavelength, and that has a very nice ring to it. Sort of sounds like theoretical physics. But the main thing is that gamma is on the order of 200. And this is what gives the electron energy to be on the order of 100 MeV. Going through the equations, we really come up with the result is that the effective potential, when we actually look at the effect of relativity on the potential. And remember, when you're talking relativity, you are concentrating the fields that the electron is encountering. And those concentrated fields give you much stronger forces. Those are the relativistic enhancement effects. So relativity then is the source of the electron deep orbits, but it's also the solution for the Heisenberg uncertain relationship. So we've shown that the electron can exist in the deep orbit and can be confined there. The question is there any resonance there? Orbits are all resonances. And so Jean-Luc went looking for the resonances. If you start with the energy, and then go ahead and assume that the electron is bound by the Heisenberg uncertain relationship, and you introduce the corrections, you come up with a what we call a sort of a Heisenberg energy. And this now is a 1 over r relationship. So what it says then is, let's look, using this relationship, let's look and see what we can find. And what we do is you plot the kinetic energy in red and the potential in blue, we see it's never going to get there. But if you look at the green curve, this is the relativistic enhanced Coulomb potential. And when you get down to the nuclear level, there's two orders of magnitude difference. It's huge. And so this gives us the 100 MeV electron, and it says that the Coulomb potential for a relativistic particle actually is able to bind it. In this region, the kinetic energy is greater than the potential energy, it's not bound. In this area now, this is the radius here where the potential and the kinetic energy cross. In reality, the virial theorem says that the potential energy is twice the kinetic energy. Puts us down here, so it solves the atomic orbitals just using this equation, which is pretty neat. But you don't get a crossover again until we get out here to the relativistic range, to the nuclear range. And that is interesting because the relativistic virial theorem says that the potential energy and the kinetic energy come together. So here we have classical physics, relativistic physics, quantum physics, all beginning to come together, and they tie together with the Heisenberg uncertain relationship, which eliminates one of the major arguments against this model. Now, looking at more details of the equations and the potentials, we end up seeing that we have a potential here that in fact has two potential wells. This is the Bohr atom potential well. This is the deep orbit potential well. And there are resonances as a consequence in both areas. Now, the question that Jean-Paul posed, I think it was yesterday, it's hard to say timelines of strange things, said, okay, how do you get from here to here? You can't get there by photons. You can get there by two photon emission, where you now end up having two electron decay, which gives you a angular momentum of 0-0 transition. You can do it probably by an Auger process, again, the highly forbidden process. But there's something which just sort of hit me here, is that going from here to here, we're talking tunneling, and we're talking tunneling through a fairly narrow barrier. So there's no reason not to tunnel. But the quantum mechanical equations, which look at the population, relative population of the two, it doesn't say how it gets there. It simply looks at the overlap between the wave functions. And that fits, and everything seems to agree. So looking at the fine details, once you start getting close to the nucleus, things which are fine and hyperfine structure at the atomic levels all of a sudden become very important. And when you start getting to the nuclear level, they dominate. So we have two things here. We have the self-energy and vacuum polarization, these effects now actually can be pretty strong. But the self-energy effect is greater than the vacuum polarization. So as a repulsive force, it keeps the electron outside of the nucleus. When you start talking about these deep effects, the spin-spin effect, which can be totally ignored in the atomic case, now becomes the dominant feature. And in fact, to keep the fit to the orbit, the deep orbit, you have to assume only the repulsive spin-spin interaction. What struck me is that, okay, what happens if you assume the attractive interaction? And Luke sort of backed away from that. But in fact, it gives you a very small radius, well inside the nucleus. And I said, that begins to sound like we're talking about quarks or components of quarks. So it looks like when you start talking about relativity, my own feeling is that now the strong nuclear forces are in fact relativistic Coulomb forces, and that's something that we want to play with in the future. So the consequence, we do have, just as a model, and he's an applied mathematician, so he does these equations and cranks out these things very nicely. We have the relativistic enhancement over 200, but it still gives us a binding energy on the half MeV level, which is what is predicted by the Dirac equation. And so this is sort of nice that we actually have the very high energies, but the potential energy, the kinetic energy balance in such a way that we're still allowed to have this binding energy. But this binding energy is critical to cold fusion. Jean-Luc says, well, once we get into this area, we really have to go into QED. So that's one of the things that we're having to evaluate. And looking at these things now, we're actually talking about the models, the nuclear models, and this is one of the reasons why I'm interested in what Norman Cook is doing, and which we will go into tonight in greater detail. What's actually happening, what are the components going on in there. So cold fusion is a transition between atomic and nuclear physics, but it also may give us answers to what's going on in the nuclear physics field. So Jean-Luc is looking at the nuclear effects, but he's also looking at the relativistic atomic levels, the high Z components, and using the way to sort of hone his quantum electrodynamics skills, which he's learning. I could never do something like that. So in conclusion then, relativity solves the Heisenberg uncertainty relationship issue, and it introduces the possibilities, and the calculations give us possibilities of resonance near the nucleus. Can I say resonance or resonance? Close enough either way. Nevertheless, what we're doing is actually first cuts, and a lot of refinement needs to be carried out still. But it's interesting that there are other people beginning to approach this problem, and we're looking forward to that. So we're trying to go ahead and gain some experience from what is well known from the high Z elements, the relativistic effects there. And we really think that the deep orbit model gives us a means to look at energy transfer without gamma or without energetic particles. And this goes back then to internal conversion and the process of even the weak interaction. My own feeling is that the weak interaction is weak simply because it's not very probable. But in fact, once you start having deep orbit electrons, you're spending a lot of time, not just in passing through, but in staying close to the nucleus, so the weak interactions can in fact become much stronger. Then, until I convince Jean-Luc, I'm gonna have to go it alone. My own feeling is that there's also orbits which are not obedient to what we consider the Heisenberg uncertain relationship. But once we understand what the uncertain relationship really talks about, I think we can actually find that there are electrons that are in the MeV level, not the 100 MeV level, in these deep orbits. And this gives us another set of things to play with. So we're in an active mode, and Jean-Luc is very energetic, and I'm very thankful for it because I have own family responsibilities. And so I'm depending on him to do a lot of work. I'm still trying to keep up with it. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Reminds me of nuclear magnetic resonance potential application to looking at different orbits above that ground state orbit. Have you looked at that issue and whether it's possible at all?
That's a very interesting point, and we have not looked at that yet, but it's something, thank you for mentioning it. I think it's actually one of the things that I think helped Mills in some of his ideas, and I think we can look at it here and see. However, we really don't have the population yet, and only until we can get to the high population, although it's interesting that with the halo nuclei, which are basically, my guess is in fact, they are in fact what I would call femtomolecules. If you have a hydrogen femtoatom with radius on the order of a few Fermi, then you can actually form a molecule which has spacings on a few Fermi. And this is basically what the halo nuclei do. So here we have something that is measured to great accuracy with a relatively low population. So this is one of the things that I'm hoping we're able to come together and get enough cold fusion going that in a situation where we can examine the products and look at things. And at that point, I think we'll have a test of what's actually happening.
There's one impression that the weak interaction between electrons and photons is repulsive. It's repulsive. It's the
stage of the Z0. I think. Okay, my view on that is
that's hypercharged, right? That's how they make your hypercharge of being an electron into a photon that repels up, same as Z0.
We're really talking now about not just quarks but components, and when we start talking about relativistic effects, we have charged particles that are relativistic, and they're going to interact, and there will be both relativistic enhancement and repulsion and attraction. And one of Norman Cook's comments was that there is a phase relationship which is critical. Well, here we now have orientation and phase relationships. So I think things are going to be coming together on that. I don't think we can be bound by the standard model. It doesn't accept deep orbits. Once we introduce deep orbits and the interaction between mass and potential and relativistic enhancement, I think things are going to change. But thanks for the question.
Larry. Yes, you raise an interesting point here. If indeed you've got these beasties out there, and you have something that is a halo nucleus, such as produced at the Michigan Superconducting Cyclotron. If you get one of those into a deep orbital state, you want to rapidly change its decay rate. So the question becomes, people have made these measurements. The question then is, are the decays of some of these halo nuclei that are way off the drip line, are they in fact evidence of this?
You are actually addressing a point which this group has an advantage and a disadvantage. We have a lot of breadth and sometimes not the depth we want, but you're bringing up points that I never would have thought about and information I want. So it's something, remind me later.
Yeah, I will, because what becomes important is how you in fact make these.
Well, to some extent, the paper I give on Friday will address greatly what happens. What do you have when you have a relativistic electron? You have very, very strong fields. The field, the forces from those fields drop off at 1 over r, not 1 over r squared. So the effect is much greater than the Coulomb potentials. And the frequencies are much higher. So the interaction now is with nucleons and quarks, subnucleon components, rather than with atomic electrons.
So here's one last thought. It's in support of what you said, that the strong force may in fact be a relativistic Coulomb force.
Absolutely.
When you have highly relativistic electrons, the magnetic field effect is what's dominating.
Exactly. And the spin, which isn't well defined, ties into that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor.